Lord, thank you for today. I thank you, Lord, for your kindness. I thank you for your goodness, Lord. I thank you for doing all of those things for us that we just couldn't fathom, Lord. You do so many things on our behalf that we're just unaware of. You keep us alive, Father. Father God, I thank you for the breath that you give us. And Father, I pray that right now you will use me. I pray that you will clear all the clutter from our minds, Lord. I pray that we'll be able to, as we go through this, to see you, to understand you better, Lord, and that we will make a decision to follow you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So our scripture reading was taken out of the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 11. And I want to reread that in your hearing. I'm going to read it, though, from the New International Version, because I think it kind of says it in a way that I like. Mark chapter 11, verse 11 says, Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. Now, just before I even go further, I want to give some history here. What was going on was, this was what the Bible would call the triumphant entry. This was when Jesus, to fulfill prophecy, was telling his disciples, look, go get a colt, and I'm going to ride on that colt, and I'm going to come into town. And everybody was going to be yelling and just happy and crazy excited. You know, it reminds me of some years ago, and this happens every maybe 4 years. There's usually like a person who everybody wants to be the president, or maybe not everybody, but a good portion of people, you know. And so everywhere they go, it's like, run, so-and-so, run. And they're just soaking it all up. And then one day they announce it. I'm announcing my candidacy for the president of the United States. And everybody's all happy. Well, this was Jesus in a strange way. Everybody had been saying, run, Jesus, run. We want you to be our leader, to be our king. And now Jesus does something that's kind of like, I'm announcing my candidacy. He's coming into town on a colt. And he's coming to Jerusalem. And everybody's yelling, and they've got palms just being sent down, and everyone's yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna. So this is where this picks up, and it says, Jesus entered Jerusalem, and he went to the temple. Then it says, he looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now, that doesn't even make sense. But since it was already late. It's like, no. What was it that made him just say, this is not the time? He, you know, this whole big production, and then Jesus says, man, looking around. He's seeing everything. And it's like this sort of pregnant pause here where it just says, but since it was already late, this wasn't the time, went out to Bethany with the 12. You know, I'll say, when you preach once a month, you tend to repeat stories. And I have a lot of stories, but many of you have heard them all like 4 or 5 times. But I'm going to repeat another story. When I was a younger man, our family had just moved from Elmira to Pennsylvania. But this summer, I had spent back in Elmira. And I was living with a buddy of mine. And I was staying the whole summer. His name's Mandy. I'll just use his name because there's no problem with the name. So I'm staying with Mandy, and his mom's name is Libby. And it was towards the end of the summer, and it was time for school shopping. Now, kids love school shopping. I mean, but parents, especially if you're, you know, we were really poor. I mean, this was a struggle. School shopping was just nothing to enjoy as a parent. But as kids, you're like, oh, I'm going to get everything. I'm going to get the best of sneakers, the best of clothes. And so I remember Libby says, okay, guys, come on. We're going to go school shopping. And we hop in the car, and she took us to the mall. The mall. That's where the expensive clothes were. We went right past the Kmart, right past the Salvation Army. We went to the mall. And I'm sitting there like, man, and this is not my mom, so I'm like, I'm not getting anything. I'm feeling a little salty. And we go into the store. We went into this, I think it was called Champs, some sneaker store. And it's odd that what happens is when we got into the store, Mandy and his mother kind of veered off. Mandy went to the area where you knew the names of the sneakers. You could identify the name brand. His mother went to the other section. What do you call it? The bargain section. There's something kind of wrong with this sneaker section. There's, something that wasn't sold on right, and they were selling this at a discount. So she was at that side, and Mandy was at this side, and he's holding up all these sneakers, wondering if they could fit, and she's like, Mandy, what do you think about this? And all of a sudden, he starts sulking. Come on, Mom. We doing that? I'll be holding that sneaker up. And she's not paying any mind. He's looking, Nike, Reebok. Oh, man, I can get these. Mandy, what do you think about this? No name on the sneaker. No color differential. It's just one color. And I remember this guy, one of the attendants came, and he says, hello, ma'am, may I help you? And she says, yes, I'd like to know if you have this in a size, whatever, whatever. And he lost his mind. I hate this. That's why I hate coming here. I don't never get to get what I want. And he went off. Today, that might seem normal. In my growing up, that wasn't normal. And I remember sitting there watching this whole thing, and I'm thinking, boy, he really showing out. And what was incredible wasn't that he was going off and yelling, I hate this. I never get to get the nice sneakers. I hate coming to the mall. I hate shop. I hate school. He was everything close to I hate you, Mom. He was close to that. But I hate this. I hate that. And so the guy comes back with the box of the no-name sneakers. And then Libby says, I'm sorry, sir. It appears that we won't be shopping for sneakers today. I'm sorry to take up your time. Maybe we'll be back another day. Very calm and collected. And the man said, okay, thank you. And he walked back, went back. Come on, Mandy and Billy, let's go. It's time to go home. Let's stop in JCPenney's, pick up a few shirts and things. So we're going home, and we got a few shirts and no sneakers, though. And we get back to the house, and I remember the car stopped, and we rushed outside, and we went upstairs into the apartment, and we're inside the room, and all of a sudden, you ever hear like children running up and downstairs? And if you're in the projects, everything was cheap, so it was like boom, boom, boom. You could hear everything, boom, 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 boom. I was at the top of the stairs, and Mandy's room is here, and I heard this boom, 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 boom. And I looked, and it was his mother running up the stairs. And I remember it so clearly because she had a shoe in her hand. It was a brown shoe, and it had the thick rubber sole, about an inch thick. And she had this shoe, and she went into that room. I jumped out of the way. And I'm not condoning anything, just be clear, but I mean, she went in that room, and she taught a lesson, boy. She taught a lesson. And I remember, all I could hear was Mandy yelling, Mom, I'll never do that. I'll never embarrass you again. I'll never do that again. And she yelled back, I know you won't, and kept on going until her arm just wore out. And she was done. And I remember, as a kid, it was one of those things where I found everything funny. But I lived in a society where if I were to smile even, she would have gotten the other arm
You know? So I'm watching this and I'm straight faced. I don't, nothing's funny. Nothing's funny, because I didn't want any of that lesson. And that was the day I realized that sometimes parents have a pause. Nothing's funny. She watched Mandy in that store and just, really? Really? And that's what I thought about when I said Jesus came, and it's like all this hoopla, and he gets to Jerusalem and he gets to the temple and he looks around at everything, it says, and he says, not now. Oh, I'm going to deal with this, but not now. I'm going to deal with this, what I'm seeing, but not now. So the Bible says he goes back to Bethany, and depending on, if you read it in Mark, there's a story about this cursing of a tree. But when you read it in Matthew, and I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, and we'll pick up the story, the rest of this story. Matthew chapter 21. New Testament. First book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew. Chapter 21. And we're going to start at verse 12. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of what, everyone?
Prayer.
But you are making it a den of robbers. So let me explain what was going on. The Old Testament times, or even in these times, they had a system set up, a sacrificial system. And what would happen is people would come and they would, you know, give their offerings or whatever, or they'd bring their sacrifices. But for some, it was a little too much to carry the animal all the way to Jerusalem. So for convenience sake, somebody was there and they had this sort of outer court where somebody was there and they'd say, hey, you don't have to carry your animal. You can just buy here. But it was interesting to me that it said that they were selling doves, and other translations say they were selling pigeons. The pigeon, there was sort of, when God gave these sacrifices that were required, he kind of had a hierarchy. So if you were of means, then you would be sacrificing a goat, a cow, something of that nature. But God even made it so that if you had no money, You could sacrifice, you could bring a pigeon. A pigeon. I mean, so like when I was growing up, we would have been bringing a lot of pigeons. Pigeons would have been the offering to give. But so the people who were needed the pigeons were the lower class even. And so this system, as you read these commentaries, the way it was working was you had the priests who were set up, and they had kind of set this system up to turn a profit. So now these poor people, already difficult times, already dealing with difficult things, they're set up in a system that's not benefiting them. Now they've got to turn to this system, and they're actually being robbed. So when Jesus is saying you're making this a den of thieves, a den of robbers, he's accurate in saying that. Jesus came. These people, you know, the temple was situated in a place where it wasn't just for the Jews. It was to allow the Gentiles. It was to allow those who didn't have the pedigree. It was allowed to those who didn't know God to get to know God. But instead of being able to get to know God, they were watching what was going on. And you ever hear about it? I don't, maybe you have or haven't, but you ever hear if a certain church is having some kind of issues, you don't want to go there. And there's some kind of controversy going on in the church. Nobody wants to be there. So these guys were, you know, sadly, not just getting, the people who were going were getting robbed financially, they were also being robbed spiritually. But Jesus was there. And Jesus was looking. Jesus was concerned. There was a problem with their worship. Their worship wasn't benefiting anyone. Their worship was robbing them financially and robbing them spiritually. Robbing them. Their worship had no value at all. You know, there's many things that we preach at Seventh-day Adventists, but the heart of our message is it deals with something called worship. The heart of the Seventh-day Adventist deals with, sometimes you'll hear these words floated about the three angels' message, but it deals with this idea of worshiping God. The heart of what we're talking about is dealing, and the problem is this, there are times where sometimes those who are most familiar are those who end up being the ones who are a little more relaxed in the worship. Anyone guilty of that? I'll raise my hand, but you don't have to. You guys are all perfect. Right? So, but there are problems with that, where sometimes those who are most acquainted with the system. You know, my wife was saying how, you know, when she first started going to work, you know, these are the hours. It's from 8 to 5 or whatever the hours are. But she says, you know, like on the first week, they were explaining to her the system. Well, yeah, it says 8 o'clock. But if you come at 8:15, just walk fast. Just walk fast. Don't look surprised. Don't make a big to-do about it. Don't say, I'm sorry, I'm late. You just, so it's like they had become so accustomed with the system that they were saying, look, just, you know, you kind of have to be here around 8-ish. Just walk fast. These people were accustomed with the system. They'd gotten lax. Started to overlook things. I don't know why people come to church sometimes. I don't know. I mean, this whole temple, I mean, these people were in there. They were there all the time. And if you took a poll in today's church, I mean, I don't know if people would say, well, I'm here because I have a need to be here. Or maybe they'd say, I'm here only because of my wife. She didn't wake me up this morning and tell me I had to go, I wouldn't be here. I'm here only because so-and-so, only because my mom or dad forced me to be here. There are so many people who they come, and they may come for years. They may come for years only because they felt somebody made them come. And the minute they get the opportunity to say, I'm done with it, I mean, they've already left it in their heart. They've already left the church in their heart, but they physically, yeah, we're here. And something in the back of our minds makes us think that attendance counts. It doesn't. Something makes us think, well, as long as I made it, what can they really say? Attendance doesn't count for anything. You come? Well, that's great. But why'd you come? There were a bunch of people attending services that day when Jesus went to the temple. But why were they there? Why were they there? The commentary I read made an interesting suggestion. It talked about when Jesus had kicked these people out. And when you read it, it's almost as if it's saying the problem with what was going on was all of the noise and all of the commotion. And I sort of disagree. I don't think it was the noise. I don't think it was the commotion. But, you know, sometimes I think we think that if it's really quiet, it's very reverent. It's very, like right now, you guys, you probably feel reverent right now. Where's the baby? Can the baby start crying? Can some of the babies start? Let me tell you, you go into some churches and they hear a baby and it's like, oh, can't worship here. Baby's too loud. No parent should ever be made to feel embarrassed. It's not the noise that bothered Jesus. It wasn't the commotion that bothered Jesus. No parent should ever be made to feel embarrassed because their child couldn't keep quiet for like some 2 hours or 3 hours that you have them here. You can't keep quiet. So no parent should ever feel or be made to feel embarrassed for their child making a sound. Jesus wasn't concerned with that. It wasn't the noise. It wasn't the commotion. It was the fact that people were being robbed of their relationship with God. People were being made to believe that there was something that they could get out of this coming to church, and all of a sudden they were surrounded by people who had nothing to help them with. They did nothing to their spiritual growth. It's not surprising, actually, when you read the book of Mark and how Mark tells the story. He talks about this tree. There was this tree that Jesus is told to have cursed. Fig tree. Now, I just recently saw a picture of a fig tree. I didn't realize how big these things were. I don't know if this fig tree that I saw a picture of was the kind that Jesus cursed, but it's a big tree, if it's what I think it is. This tree, Jesus is going by, and I don't know if you know the story, but Jesus is walking, and he sees this tree, and Jesus is hungry. Jesus is hungry, and he's walking, and he sees this tree, and the tree has leaves on it. And the idea was, okay, if the fig tree has leaves on it, it must have fruit on it. So he goes up to the fig tree, and he says, where's the fruit? And there's no fruit there. And what almost makes it seem like out of character, Jesus curses the tree. And depending on the account you read, the tree was cursed, withered, and died immediately. Some account says the next day they came back and the tree was dead. But understand, Jesus wasn't cursing the tree for not having fruit. Jesus was cursing the tree for having leaves and not having fruit. There's a difference. There were a lot of trees that had no fruit, but they didn't have the leaves pretending that they had fruit. So there were people who were going to the temple and they were seeing people who had the leaves pretending they had fruit and they had none. And so that story is mixed with this story and Jesus is cursing that. You can't do that. People are coming hungry. Jesus was coming hungry and not being able to be fed. People come here to be fed. And we can't walk around and think, well, they'll be okay. There's a hard part of ministry. There's a difficult part of, I should say, a church family that some people will never know. There is a difficult part of church ministry that other people know very well. Very well. Those in the church who happen to visit other families know that there's a part of ministry that's very difficult. It's not just, I see you in church and I say hi. It's not just, okay, I heard that you had a problem, and I'll talk to you later. There's a difficult part of ministry, and people need to be fed. So many people come to church, and their ideas are going to be formed by how we treat them. Their ideas of who God is, their ideas of what Christianity is all about, their ideas of what Seventh-day Adventists are all about, will probably be made up in a few minutes. They walk in the door, nobody greets them, nobody's smiling, nobody cares to notice them, they'll walk out. And in some cases, maybe they'll say, I'll try again, I'll try another church. But in other cases, they'll make that mind up. And they'll say, never again. Never again. Nothing in that church that I need. And there's some of us that, truth be told, are tempted to give up. I mean, you've been coming, and nobody seems to care. You've been here mentioning your problems and trials, and it seems as though no one cares. And the only thing I can tell you is, above all else, Jesus is worth it. Jesus is worth it. I am not worth a penny, but Jesus is worth it. There isn't a song that you can hear in here that's worth anything, but Jesus is worth it. There's something that I found interesting. You know, Jesus, it almost seems as if Jesus was really kicking these people out. But you know, the truth of the matter is, people leave because they don't want to change. There wasn't a problem that Jesus came to save and love. I mean, there wasn't a problem that he had with them per se. The problem Jesus was trying to do was get rid of what was going on. There are some times where Jesus is trying to get rid of an attitude. There are some times where he's trying to get rid of a certain type of thing that's going on. He's trying to get rid of gossip. He's trying to get rid of things that are hurtful to people. He's not trying to get rid of people. But they chose to leave. And I urge you to stay in the boat, as they say. Because what happens next was really cool. After it mentions these people leaving, in Matthew chapter 21, verse 14, reading on, says, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying," and in some verses it says the children were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David," these chief priests and scribes were displeased. Have mercy. The chief priests and scribes. So here's the thing. Understand it when I say it wasn't the commotion. People were coming in now. There are some things, there are some elements that God has to move out of a church. Because unless he moves them out, others won't come in. There are some who sat out. So these lame, these diseased were outside at this time. And it's not until Jesus depicts these money changers, these robbers spiritually and financially, it's not until they're depicted as leaving that then God says, "Yes, now they came. Now the lame are coming. Now the diseased are coming. Now the blind are coming. Now all of those who are sick and looking for healing are coming, and they're there, and Jesus is healing them." And let me ask you, do you think they were quiet? Do you think they were quiet? Do you expect a parent to be quiet when their child is healed? Do you expect a person to be quiet when they're healed of some disease? Jesus was touching people who had never been touched. Lepers walking around, never been touched, usually had to be around. Jesus is touching these kinds of people. And do you think they were quiet? The Bible says that the children were yelling, "Hosanna!" And you would normally think that this is a great thing. This is a beautiful thing. They're yelling Hosanna. And instead, the chief priests are there. "It's too loud in here. Hear all that noise. Oh, Jesus, you need to make these people be quiet." It's like somehow you're supposed to get your blessing and just be real quiet. You're supposed to get your healing, and just accept it, you know, gracefully, reverently. They were shouting. They were happy. Have you ever been happy? Has anyone in here ever been happy? Have you ever been happy in a way that you said, "Boy, if I were happy like this in church, they might kick me out"? Have you ever just jumped up? My daughter's watched me watch sports, and I scared her once. I literally scared her. The Eagles were playing the Giants, and the last second deal, and she thought daddy lost his mind. She got on the phone calling her mom, calling Rachel, "Oh, daddy lost his mind." Happy, man. It's okay. Thank you. Finally, a baby's talking something. Amen. It adds to the service. It adds to the service. But the people who left, the sad part is they missed that. Some people may be tempted to leave, and it's like, if you leave, what do you miss? Well, you miss that. You'll miss healings. God may not answer all of your prayers, but you walk with God long enough, you will see him do things that will only be attributed to him, and you will simply say amen. Whether it's in your life or someone else's life, you will simply say amen. God is alive. God is on the throne. I know he lives. I know my Savior lives. They missed that. The truth is, reverence is an attitude. It's not a style. Worship is from the heart. It's from the mind. I praise God that they didn't all leave. I praise God that the others knew enough to stick around. I praise God that those who were sick, who were really needy, who needed healing, realized it was safe to come inside. I praise God for that. And I pray that our church, and that's everyone in here, is a safe place. I pray that our church, and I know it is, helps the prayer. I know it's a safe place. It's a safe place. And I've heard that enough times to know it for a fact. Everybody might not agree with everything, but it's a safe place. Jesus is talking to him, talking to the scholars in verse 17. Or rather, verse 16, he said to them, "Hearest thou what these say?" And Jesus said to them, "Yea, have you never read?" You know, it's funny when Jesus is talking to the priest. "Have you read your Bible?" "What are you talking about?" You know, it's funny when Jesus is looking at them, these people who've like memorized like the whole Bible right up to that point, and Jesus is saying, Have you never read? Are you shocked? Have you never read? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Have you never read that? From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Jesus was touching diseased people. They were shouting for joy. And no one had the right to say, "You're too noisy." Jesus wasn't stopping them. If you've never seen a miracle in your life, if you've never seen a miracle in your life, I urge you to continue to walk with God. You will not leave this earth without seeing God work in your life. You will not. And so the only thing I leave you with, again, if you've ever considered walking away, if you've ever said, "I don't know if it's working. I don't know if it's worth it. I come to church and things don't get better." If you've ever thought that, if you've ever felt that, "I come to church and everything falls apart. My health falls apart. My finances fall apart. My relationships have fallen apart." If you've ever felt that all of these things are because of God, I'm telling you, stay with him. You will see miracles that you've never believed. Jesus Christ is worth it. Amen. Amen.